You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for our DIY feature with Mark Chabet, our sponsor from Paintsmith Midas Earth. Mark will be chatting to James Mayer. Welcome, James. And James Mayer is from Mayer Co. Portfolios. Is that correct? And our topic this morning, Mark, is about waterproofing, etc.
Etc. Nice to see you again.
Oh, yes.
Nice to be here. James, welcome.
Yes. Thanks, Mark.
James has got a wealth of building experience, decades of it. Specializes in a lot of things. And one of the things we're going to chat about today is, I don't like calling it waterproofing, water ingress.
I think so.
And water ingress, we're not only talking about roofs, we're talking about parapet walls, we're talking about showers, we're talking about balconies. There's a large variety of waterproofing and water ingress that we can chat about. But today I think we're going to touch on a couple of small ones that the DIY homeowner can do himself, James.
Yeah.
Let's start. Well, just to tell you what we're going to chat about. We can talk about showers.
Yes.
Major problem in a lot of households. Showers. My biggest bugbear, parapet walls. In the painting industry, an absolute nightmare. We're going to talk about balconies, how to waterproof, how to seal, stop water ingress in balconies. And then James has got a really interesting one that we're going to chat about, and that is false walls, especially on homes on the mountainside.
Yeah.
Where you've got water seepage, your home is built into the clay in the mountainside. I know that you're busy with a couple of houses in Hillside Road in the mountain. We're going to talk very briefly on what we can do, what can be done, what the homeowner can do, and more importantly, how James can help those homeowners out.
Yeah. So before,
wealth of experience.
Before we get going, let's put it out there. This is your chance to ask questions on 072-447-8044. James and Mark is awaiting.
James. Let's start off with showers. Showers, the first sign that the homeowner realizes he has a shower leak, whether it's through the tiles, whether it's through the drain, is he's starting to get his paint peeling in his passage or the paint peeling on his bedroom walls. And that is the moisture, that's the moisture ingress from the shower now finding its way through. Obviously, the ideal, James, would be to sort this out when you build, waterproof it. Now, there's various methods. Take us through, as a contractor, what you would do to stop water ingress in your showers.
Alrighty. The important thing there is, Mark, is that you do it properly from the offset. So, if it's a new shower, then what you would do is you would, obviously, your plumbing, your first fix would be in the walls. And you need to check that those first fixes are properly fixed or that there's no leaks on any of your pipework.
Okay, you're talking drain as well as taps.
Drain and taps. So generally when you do your first fixes, it will be exposed. All your joints will be exposed. And you leave that like that for a day or two to ensure that you've got no water leakage off your pipes and then your drain pipes as well. And what we generally do as a rule of thumb, specifically on the drainage, is that we will actually pour water down the trap or down the outlet and physically check all the joints before you close it up. Now we haven't even waterproofed yet. So that's the first thing. Second thing you do is once your plastering and rendering is done in your showers, then you've got a couple of choices in terms of waterproofing applications that you can use. One waterproofing application in particular that I enjoy using is a cementitious waterproofing. So typically like your Semflex.
And that's a Seeker product, which is an outstanding product.
No, absolutely. And they've been around for many, many yonks. So that's cementitious. The up part about using this type of application is that your cement-based products like your tile adhesives and grouts will adhere to it properly. So you won't have tiles popping off.
A very interesting point you mentioned now. The perception is once you've tiled and you've grouted, your shower is now waterproof. There's not going to be any water ingress into that shower. That's a fallacy. Your grout is porous. Water will go through that tile grout.
No, absolutely. When you get to that stage of the job, you need to use an additive to your grout that will waterproof it, or you can use the products from Coprox. They have a line of actual grouts in the various different colors, and that application, when you mix it up at ease and it dries out, it's completely waterproof. It then becomes non-porous.
Okay, that's an awesome suggestion. And that's ideal for the homeowner who has a shower. It's an existing shower.
Yeah.
The shower is leaking. There's two things you've got to look for. Point number one, go and have a look at your water trap or at your drain to find out whether your water's leaking there. All too often, you get a very flat shower floor where your drainage is incredibly slow. Mm-hmm. If you're standing ankle deep in your shower, you've got to address that. You've got a blockage. You are going to have a waterproofing problem somewhere down the line. That water needs to go somewhere. It's going to go through your tile grout.
So very interesting, Mark, is that when you use a product like the Seeker product that I referred to earlier on, you actually use a membrane with it. So your floor and wall corners, you actually seal up with a membrane. So then it actually becomes like a bowl. So up to a certain height, I would call it between 50 and 100 millimeters, if you have a membrane in there, then it still won't release out those walls. So important is that when you do seal those showers up prior to tiling, is that you actually physically use a membrane in the shower base.
Let's go and have a look at the homeowners now that have an existing shower. There is water coming through. They've got damp on the other side of the wall in their passage in their main bedroom. The chances are very, very good that that water is coming through your tile grout. Your tile grout is not doesn't expand and contract. Once it's in, it's in.
Mm-hmm.
But your shower's getting hot. It's getting cold. There's a lot of expansion and contraction taking place. And you're going to get hairline cracks in your grout. It's going to pull away from your tiles.
Most definitely.
How's the homeowner going to sort this out? Can he just scrape all that grout out and then use a product like Coprox, their tile grout waterproof, and seal it that way?
Dependent, Mike, on Mark, on the condition of the tiles. If the water penetrated beyond the grout lines and it's behind the tiles and the tiles are loose, you obviously
got a
have to take it off. You have to take it off and start from scratch. In the event that the tiles are still solid on the walls and you've hacked the grout out and you've got no tiles coming off your walls, then you can definitely use the product from Coprox, regrout the bathroom walls, and that will solve your problem.
Where would you, as a contractor, if I had to call you in and say, I've got a problem, where would you start looking? Would you look at the taps? Would you look at the drain? Where would you start looking? How would you identify where that water ingress is coming in?
It's
just not an easy job.
No, it's definitely not an easy job. Water is a funny thing. It will find the path of least resistance.
Fluid so dynamics.
That's what it's called. And the thing is, water can come in from the south side and will release on the north side. Or in particular, with showers, it could be leaking off your shower hose or your shower hose outlet or your mixer. So, or your trap. So those are the three areas where you've got either water points or water drainage. So where you would start is on the floor, on the drain. Check that up, open it up, identify if it's there. If it's not there, the next best thing to go to is your mixer, your shower mixer or shower taps.
Am I correct? If my shower rows or my mixers are on the wall adjacent to my passage, to my bedroom,
yeah,
that'll be a clear indication. If I've got water and my paint is failing 3-4 foot above the floor, and there's a patch, the chances are very good that's where your mixer is, that's or where your shower is coming up.
Most definitely, that's your classical telltale sign if your mixer is leaking.
And if it's above your skirting boards,
then it's definitely
it's coming through your floor.
It's coming through your base, yeah.
Okay. So the chances are very, very good. You can, if it's coming through your mixers, if it's coming through your shower head, tiles off.
Absolutely.
Start again.
Absolutely.
If it's coming through your drain, same story.
Mm-hmm.
Floor out, start again. And it could be a simple thing like a rubber seal that has gone in your drain. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will revert back to the beginning of our conversation. What guys often don't do is actually physically test that shower P-trap before they cement it in. So a rubber seal is a 2 rand or 50 cents part, but it can
it's going to cost you 10,000 rand to replace that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I've been to many showers, and I'm one of the guilty ones. I, at one stage, stood ankle deep every time I had a shower. My trap was blocked.
Yeah.
And what I got a plumber in, he had a look, he took the covers off, he stuck all sorts of pipes and fish tape and all the rest of it down.
Mm-hmm.
And what, in fact, the contractor had done is when he tiled the floor,
mm-hmm.
he got all that cement into my pipes, my outlet pipes. So on a 40 mil outlet pipe, all of a sudden I've got a 20 mil pipe trying to drain a barrage of water that's hitting me. So when you're doing that, make sure that you cover up your drain.
Absolutely.
Put something in it, put something over it that you're not going to get any cement,
mm-hmm.
any tile adhesive.
It's actually a very simple thing to do. So you can actually just take the grid that comes with your shower trap, tape it up, put some masking tape, and put it in place. Then absolutely nothing can get in there.
And then also make sure that when you are, or when your builder, your contractor is doing it, or if you're doing it yourself, make sure that there's a decent flow of water down to your drain.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You don't want water to lie there.
Yeah.
Okay, so bottom line is, tile grout, you can. Coprox has got a wonderful product. We stock the product in the shop. It's an incredibly fast mover. As you mentioned, it comes in various colors. Obviously, the biggest seller is white,
mm-hmm.
but they come out with the grays, etc.
Yeah.
But it's an awesome product. If your tiles you waterproofed your cement, you put a slurry on it, you put your tiles on top of it, you've used the Coprox style grout, you are not going to have a problem.
Definitely.
With your shower.
Can you use fibre cement boards on the wall and then tile?
Yeah, so you, when you do a bathroom, you've got a rendered or plastered surface, cement plastered surface, and then, as my previous suggestion is that you don't only seal the bottom of the floor with a cementitious product, but you also seal the walls as well. So you double it up.
That's ideally as far as your shower rose.
Absolutely.
All the way to the top.
Absolutely, all the way to the top.
And is that with fibre cement boards?
No. It's a cementitious waterproofing product from Seeker.
And it gets mixed. It comes in powder form. You can get it in liquid form. It mixes with your cement, and you use that to plaster before you put your tiles on top. It's 100% waterproof. Nothing's going to
penetrate it.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. Parapets.
Yeah. It's a notorious
parapets. I was at a site yesterday. Parapets. I've always wondered, James, why a contractor doesn't slant their parapet walls towards the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm saying this, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a contractor.
Yeah.
So what I know about building is incredibly dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But during the course of the year, you've got dust, you've got dirt lying on top of your parapet walls. The first bit of mist, the first bit of drizzle, it now sits on top of a flat parapet wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates almost like a little mud bath on the top. Yeah. Your first heavy rains, it washes that dirt, and it's an incredible amount of dirt down your walls.
Yeah.
So number one, it looks ugly. Wouldn't it be a good idea if the contractors out there slanted that parapet 2 or 3 centimeters towards the roof and drain all that water off your parapet walls?
Most definitely, Mark, most definitely. So a 3 to 5 millimeter fall inward towards the roof and not towards the walls is an ideal thing to do, because then the water can run off the top of the parapet directly onto the roof. And what I find in a lot of cases when we do have parapet issues is if it's not waterproofed on the top of the parapet, then you can have moss growing on there, you can have all sorts of things growing on there, because cement is a porous product. So if you do not seal it properly, then you're going to have problems down
regardless of whether you've painted on top of it.
Regardless.
That water is definitely going to go through. We see it every day. You drive past the suburbs, you look at the parapet walls. I love looking at it because I know they've got a problem. And there are solutions. There are very, very simple, cost-effective solutions that every contractor should be doing. And if it's not the contractor, then the painter.
No, absolutely.
Point it out to the homeowner that it's not sealed on the top. And for a couple of $100, you can seal the parapet walls, and it's going to cost you nothing. We've got a beautiful, or a couple of beautiful products. We've got a product called Flexi Cement. Awesome product. You form it into a slurry. It comes in a little kit in a liter form. You're going to do about 4 squares on that, and that will seal your parapet walls completely. Another one of our products, Flexi Krill. It comes with, or you can get yourself a bandage, or you can get yourself a fiber bandage, stick that on, and no water's going to go through that, and that is going to last the lifetime of the home.
Absolutely, and an important thing to point out there is that you need to seal the parapet from the top, so from the outside edge all the way to the inside edge and then onto the roof.
Yes. Okay, that's critical. Yeah. Say that again. So draw a picture for for the listener.
So parapets, you look at the top of the parapet, so from the outside edge, meaning your face of your wall, all the way on top, down the side, and onto
towards your roof.
That's right.
That's great. So it doesn't help just doing the top of the parapet. You've got to do it all the way to your roof.
All the way down to the roof. That's right.
Winter's coming. We are unfortunately lazy beings, and we only realize the problem once the rain has come. My suggestion is have a look at it now.
No, absolutely.
Get someone up onto the roof, and you can very easily see whether the top of your parapets have been sealed or not. If it looks as though there's a bandage on there, then the chances are good it's been sealed.
Yeah.
If there's no bandage look on the top, then I think you're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Parapet walls, look after it.
Yeah. Another thing, Mark, is that it only lasts for so long. So you've got to do it every 5 years, I would say. That's a good time span. Every 5 years, and then you don't have to put bandage on again. You can just recoat it with your product of choice.
And ideally, you're going to be repainting your home every 6, 7, 8 years.
Anyway.
Do it there anyway, and then get your contractor, your painting contractor, to have a look at what the condition of your parapets are. Because that is 90% of your ingress into your walls is from your parapets.
Absolutely.
And the architects who love parapets, every new house has got an abundance of parapets. So obviously it's 101 architecture now when you come out of varsity. They're teaching how to put up parapets or how to draw parapets.
Yeah.
Parapets, we can go and have a look at something very, very similar. The same concept, and that is balconies.
Yeah.
Balconies are an absolute headache for a lot of people. And there's a couple of mistakes that are made early on with regard to balconies. Once again, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not a builder. Number one is your slope.
Appropriate
there's
fall.
There's got to be an appropriate fall from your home towards the edge of your balcony. I've seen another common mistake where holes are made in the edge of your balcony, on your balcony wall. A hole's not good enough. You've got to put a 40mm PVC pipe in there and below the surface level of your...
At least 5mm below your finished floor level.
What would your fall be? Thumbsuck. Not going to hold you to it?
No, depending on how big the balcony area is, you obviously don't want to put too much of a fall on there, so when you walk it feels like you're falling. But an appropriate fall, anything between, I would say, between 20 and 30 millimeters. If there's little fall like that, the water will run away. I wouldn't go less than 30 millimeters on a 2 meter span, for instance, you know. The bigger the balcony, the bigger the fall.
And as far as your drain holes are concerned, is there a standard that they should be apart?
Again, depending on the square meterage that you're draining, that will determine your hole sizes or your drainage hole sizes.
And do you stick that across the entire length of your balcony, or do you have a fall to one corner? Ideally, what would be best way of doing it?
Every job is unique. So you will get to some jobs where you have to have three different falls towards three different outlets, and then you get jobs where you've got one fall in one direction. So it's a bit difficult to say. You've got to look at the dynamic on site.
And please listen to your contractor. The homeowner, the contractor's been doing this for many, many years. It might not look aesthetically pleasing or aesthetically pleasing as you would like it mm-hmm. to be, but it's going to be a whole heap more aesthetically pleasing having that in mm-hmm. than 2 years down the line when you've got water ingress and you've got mold and your paintwork's failing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got a problem as well. To fix that is a nightmare.
Yeah. So just coming back to the outlets, you know, you would normally and generally use a sleeve. You can't just go and drill a hole and expect the water to run through the hole and drain away. If you're going to do that, you're going to have ingress into your walls. So it's important to sleeve your outlets and then also to have a flange at the back that you can seal up against. Not having that in place will also cause you problems down the line.
And of course, with having a pipe coming out of your wall, it's keeping the water from your balcony away from your home.
Absolutely.
Whether it be 6 inches or whatever the case is, mm-hmm. it's keeping it away from. And that balcony, it's dirt, mm-hmm. it's grime, it's dust. And the last thing you want with the rain is the water to drain down and then run down the side of the home.
That's right.
Let it stick out 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And takes away a lot of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
The balconies you can also seal before you tile it with the same products that you've sealed the top of your parapet walls. You can use a Coprox product, you can use Chemflex,
mm-hmm.
Just to stop the water from going into your concrete below.
No, absolutely, Mark. And also depending on your floor finish, that will point you in the direction of what type of waterproofing you need to use in your balconies. So if you're going to tile, for instance, you again want to use something that's cementitious so that your tiles can actually stick to the balcony. If you're going to go with a torch-on application, then tiles don't generally stick to that. You've got to use another product on top of that to tile.
Now that also starts to become costly because now you're using two different products
mm-hmm.
where if you use your cementitious cement
yep.
that's waterproofed, it's a one-size-fits-all.
That's it. That's
it. I must be honest, and this is a personal feeling, I'm not a fan of torch-on.
Mm-hmm.
It was good in its day.
Yeah.
Look, it still is very good in certain applications.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that's going to beat it. But you've got your rubberized paint now. You've got – there's a myriad of products
that are on the market.
The advantage here is that all those products are good. A product is not going to last on the South African market
mm-hmm.
if it's substandard.
Absolutely.
So any hardware store, any paint store that is stocking these products, they've been around for donkey's years. The contractors love them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great for the handyman. They're easy to utilize. It's very, very easy.
Yeah.
We've briefly covered showers. We've briefly covered parapets. We've briefly covered balconies. Homeowners on the mountainside.
Yeah.
I lived on the mountainside many, many years ago, and every winter, my garage was 6 inches deep in water.
Yeah.
My house was built into the mountain, and there was nowhere else I could stop it.
Mm-hmm.
These days, you chaps are getting very, very clever on stopping it. I have a garage. I have a bedroom. It's below the surface of the mountainside behind me. How do I stop the water? I can't get to the back of the wall. I can only deal with it from the front.
That's right.
How are you going to deal with that?
Well, we've had a couple of jobs in the last couple of years on the mountainside, particularly in Hillside Road, Fisher, where there's absolutely no waterproofing behind the walls that's underground.
So those are older homes.
Very
as well.
Old homes. We're talking 70 to 80 years old. So the technology wasn't around in those days. So what the guys did was they built and they backfilled right up against their porous walls or porous concrete without any waterproofing. So it will last for a couple of decades, but it won't last forever. So what we find is that you've got these walls and it's completely damp. You wouldn't know whether it's rising damp or damp coming from the side. Or
it's water.
Water, it's a notorious thing. Like I said previously, it will come in and it will find the path of least resistance and release. One job in particular we went to and we just could not find a way to get behind the walls. And then a very interesting job it was, what we actually did was we put in a false wall to cover up the wall that had damp issues and water releasing from it during winters.
With a gap between the two?
With the gap between the two, like a cavity. But what we also did was we cut in a channel into the floor, which sat about 100 millimeters below finished floor level. So channel into the floor, waterproof on top of the wall, into the channel, and onto our false wall about a meter up, and it solved our issue. So we basically diverted the water coming through the backfilled wall.
That wall's going to weep continuously.
You can't stop it. There's no way of stopping it.
And the success with, obviously, a false wall, 100%.
100%.
Would you, in that false wall, whether it's a brick wall or any other type of wall, would you put a, let's call it an inspection hatch for want of a better word?
Most definitely. You need an inspection hatch. So you need to be able to see what goes on in there. And so definitely put in an inspection hatch, a hinged door, a little trap door that you can remove just to check if your channeling and drainage is functioning properly every now and then.
Because in theory, you're not going to get any debris going into that channel.
Not necessarily, unless you've got massive holes in the walls, and an interior wall, you won't have that. You won't have holes, you know?
Correct. Okay, well, that's an awesome bit of advice. I wish I had that kind of advice. I ended up by selling my home. It was that bad.
Jeez.
That I sold it.
Yeah, I had a look at another property just a week ago. I think it was in Highway Road. And also garage below, built into the mountainside. And they actually had a sump in the garage.
So to pump the water out.
To pump the water out, yeah. So that's another thing that you can do. Okay, garage is just a garage to park a car in. And that was their solution. They dug a hole or cut a hole out and put a sump in it.
We're running out of time. Okay, we've got 2 minutes. Let's squeeze what we can in 2 minutes. The clock's ticking. Let's go and have a look. Rain is coming. Winter is coming. We think it's 2 months away. Oh, it's plenty of time to sort things out. But I'd like the homeowners just to have a mental note of what to do between now and the first decent rains. Weepole covers. Sorry, weepoles in your walls.
Yeah.
On a Saturday morning, grab a ladder and go and clean out your weepoles. Top weepoles, bottom weepoles. The other thing for new homeowners, check whether those weepoles are not decorative.
Yeah.
I've been to many homes where the weepoles, or it looks like a weepole, but in fact it's a decorative feature.
Yeah.
Open up your weepoles. Damp course. Contractors put damp course down on garden walls, on your home. And for the new homeowner, he brings in tons of topsoil to make his garden. And all of a sudden, his damp course is 6 to 8 inches below his soil level.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to stop any water. It's going to suck water out. He might as well not have built. So the homeowners, please go and check your damp course. Walk around your house. If you've got a garden right against your home, check that your soil level is below your damp course.
Definitely keep it below weather step.
And when you watering your garden, you got an irrigation system, it's not only winter, it's going to happen in summer as well. If that soil is moist, it's above your damp course, you've got a problem. Parapets we've chatted about, climb onto your roof now. Nice sunny day, Saturday morning, climb up onto your roof. Be safe when you do it. go and have a look at your parapet walls. It's not a difficult thing to do. You can do it yourself, but there are contractors and painters out there that can assist you. Another quick one, and you've seen a lot of it, gutters. Clean your gutters.
Absolutely.
Your little bit of rainfall that we're having, the rainfall we've had today, your dust comes off your roof, a little bit of sand and bird droppings, etc., lands in your gutter. It's not enough to flush your gutter. And again, I'm guilty, and I'm sure my wife's listening to this. I've still got a plant near one of my downpipes growing out of the gutter. I'm nurturing it. It's about 6 or 8 inches tall, but she looks at it every weekend and says, remove that from the gutter. I mm-hmm. promise you, Portia, if you are listening, I will remove it this weekend. But clean your gutters out. It's yeah. very, very easy. If it means you've got to get ask your garden engineer, take a hose pipe, spray your gutters out, clean them, make sure that they clean free-flowing for when the rain comes. And another bugbear of mine, your downpipes, face them away from your home.
Definitely.
Face them outside. Let that water away from your home. Get it away. Any bit of moisture near your home, you've got to get rid of. Agreed.
Absolutely.
Mark. Anything else you can add before winter?
Yeah.
We've been pushed aside. We've been pushed aside.
Yeah, my naughty laugh.
Okay, I think that's it. Otherwise, that's we can it, go yeah. to the next topic and yes, we'll so have another half an hour.
Maybe we'll have to have it to be continued. Yeah, we've done that before. Yes, we have.
Good.
Well, Mark, thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge and expertise as well as you, James. James, would you like to share your number with our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. 073-830-0173. I'll repeat that. That's 074-830-0174.
We've been down this road before.
Yeah. I tried not to look at you, Jack, but when you started to stutter, I thought, oh, here we go. You know, there's been people that forgot their number.
I think it was Mike that was in the
studio.
Oh, yes,
Big Mike forgot his number. Yeah.
What's your I don't know. Maker portfolios.
All right. And yes, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So thank you, too, for coming in and sharing your knowledge and expertise on a great topic. Right.
Thank
so
you, Sue.
I'll see you guys soon. Have a lekker afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.